Welcome to TAC Talks. My name is Mel Hartley from the Training Accreditation Council, or TAC. And before we start, I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on, the Whadjuk people. We wish to acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region. Today's episode is part of a series where we amplify excellence in WA Vet through award winner stories. Today I'm talking to Anthony Georgiev, finalist for the Australian Excellence in Language, Literacy and Numeracy Practice Award. Anthony is an advanced skills lecturer in English as a second language and in the course in Applied Vocational Study Skills, working with both migrants and vocational students at North Metro TAFE. Anthony, you've had a fascinating career path from teaching English in Tokyo to working with at-risk youth in Perth and now a finalist for the Australian Excellence in Language, Literacy and Numeracy Practice Award. Congratulations. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, cool. I guess it's like 30 years of English teaching is a long time. It's a long story, but I was just actually chatting to a student, part of my CAVS, that I do literacy support in classes, and I'm currently helping with a screenwriting class, and I'm kind of like the extra lecturer there. I'm there to help out. So there's sort of a sense of like, well, what do you do? And one of the students actually asked me, well, what do you do? I guess what I do is, also from a linguistics background, I know how language works. So really all I do is I'm skilled in taking language apart. And because I'm also a lecturer, once I've worked out how language works in, you know, for different environments and different courses and different documents, I can teach that to the students. And yeah, I think that's really where my English teaching comes into. And I think literacy is where you go, okay, well, why isn't that link happening between, you know, what the text or whatever it is that's demanding the student, and why can't they get there and finding out that problem. I work in CAVS, which is literally important in different departments like cookery, like music, like business. I've also had different student cohorts, such as women's groups, refugee women and migrants, specially tailored courses for that. So I'm also a qualified pastry chef because I thought if I'm teaching at TAFE, I should actually do a qualification. So I just wanted to feel a passion course and, yeah, it's through patisserie so I can get a background to students. And here I am, literacy, ESL, and I luckily got to go to the awards last year as a nominee, which is a great privilege.
I have to say, out of all of the qualifications that you could have chosen to pick up, patisserie is a fantastic one to have in your back pocket.
Everybody loves that. It's like, you know, so I've got a, you know, postgrad appointment by linguistics and test, and like, oh, that's nice. And you go like, oh, I'm a qualified pastry chef. And like, you can see their ears pick up. So, but it's great, you know, love the experience. And I got a first-hand experience on what it's like to be a TAFE student. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. And something that has been emerging for quite some time now alongside LLN is digital literacy. Yes. And I understand that one of your many achievements is developing an e-learning course. So just wondering if you could talk to us a little about that, how you created it and how it's helped your learners and your colleagues.
Yeah, sure. I think about the early 2000s when we started getting, you know, computer labs in TAFE and we started teaching students, I realized that if students didn't have digital literacy, they weren't literate. And that was still fairly early days. And it's just become more and more reinforced now. And in ESL, I still get students who have never used a computer before or can't use a computer. And it still kind of surprises me, but it's really, really holding them back. I, you know, very ironically and very meta is I developed a course online, you know, doing it online to teach online. And I think that was a really great step because there are very different teaching methodologies. So that course got started. It was great. Had a lot of learning there. I think reflecting back on that, I think especially after post-COVID where we are teaching online, I think it is a different teaching environment. But again, we've got to keep our key teaching skills in there. So we've still got to think about student needs. We've got to think about, you know, how we're going to present our materials and especially levels of student engagement. How can we keep, you know, people just talking online on microphones, not really knowing each other, engaged and feeling part of a community? And I think, ironically, I sort of, once we tried it online, I sort of thought, well, okay, we also need to bring that back into the classroom. So I think also sometimes that lacking in classroom practices is getting people engaged with each other.
No, that's fantastic. And like you were saying, particularly since COVID, everything has just gone online. And it's really, really important to still be getting that connection, being able to validate your students and still being able to engage everyone, even though it's through online. So if I just want to go back to language literacy and numeracy proficiency, and it's always something that's been important in the VEC sector, but the draft new RTO standards have real emphasis on RTOs ensuring that learners' proficiencies in these areas are appropriate to the training product. And the fact that this is established prior to their enrollment. So, like Anthony, I just want to ask you, you've witnessed firsthand the impact of choosing the right training product for learners. And do you have a story that you could share from your experiences where a thorough pre-enrollment assessment has made significant difference for a student, either by guiding them towards a better suited program or identifying additional support needs?
Yes, I'm just trying to think of a story right now. I think literacy, when you get into the wider community, I think it's a much more complex problem. I think, well, it might manifest itself in different ways, and we have to kind of look at the whole student. So I guess I want to start, I guess one way of looking at it is if I can just draw an analogy, if we're thinking of like, you know, if we're getting a running squad or something going together, I think, you know, we'd like to sort of, you know if they can run, and that's the case and that's great, but it might be for different reasons. And you might spot problems early, and it's not going to be something like somebody can't run, which is what a lot of people imagine in literacy. They sort of imagine it's something like, you know, they just can't read or they can't write. That's not the case. Literacy problems are very tailored and they're very specific. So somebody, for example, might be getting a knee injury and it's recurring, and you go, okay, we need to look at that. Or you might send them off to a specialist, and it might be that might need to be, you know, fixed up by that specialist. Or it might not be about the knee. They might need you know, better shoes or something. And I think that's the level of sophistication where literacy is at. So I think we do need a kind of pre-admission testing, because I think that can tell us a lot about students' writing skills that might need to be met. But also we need to be kind of very sensitive of how these needs might happen in different ways. So, for example, when I'm helping out in CAVs in mainstream classes, often things don't present as literacy problems. They're not like, oh, you know, you're not good at verbs, or, you know, you're not using the right comma in that case. It's more like something they have an anxiety problem, or, you know, they might have some other mental health problem or something going on in their life. And that's manifesting as them being unable to answer questions or unable to get their study patterns together. And that's where you need much wider solutions and support. And it's much more of a teen solution. So absolutely, I think, have screening before, make sure you get students, like, you know, whether that's, you know, they're not ready for a diploma level or even a certificate 3 level, but also just get ready for looking a little bit deeper into other things that might affect not just literacy, but what's really important for us, their ability to study.
No, you're 100% correct there. And it's something that I think the standards are trying to pick up on, that students are having issues and we don't want them to fall between the gaps. Yeah. We want to pick them up. And can we do that earlier?
Yeah.
If you're not involved in the pre-enrollment process, when do students come to you then? Is it they've already started a course and then it's realised, oh, this person needs a bit more help? How do they get to you?
Yeah. So I'm in the classroom as part of the CAVS program. I usually just sort of go around and I have a bit of a look, and I'm seeing how you're going with your studying, and, you know, I'm sort of looking for things. Are they getting behind? What's causing that? One of the biggest things that actually comes up is just students are getting the answers wrong, they're getting the questions wrong. And that very basic level of being unable to understand the questions that are being asked of them is actually one of the biggest hurdles for a lot of students. And that can happen back in the test, you know, test preparation time, because you're taking, you know, fairly complex training packages, which are designed at sort of a high level. They're almost sort of close to legal documents. And then you try and translate that into a student experience. So usually I'd start with something like, how are they going with the questions? Are they understanding what they're reading? Do they have good study practices? Do they seem organized? You know, and then you have to sort of get to the stage where you go, okay, what's going on? Why aren't you doing what you need to do. And then you might get other answers. It might be about their life at home. It might be about their background. They might open up about, you know, the concerns or issues or mental health issues they might have.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're looking at the well-being of the student as a whole.
I think that's very much it. You know, I could solve people's, you know, I could go through someone's writing and find out the grammar in a second. But, you know, I think we're part of that whole sort of a larger student that has, you know, issues just beyond not just spelling. So, and yeah, I think in a way literacy is there to, it's one of those sort of first alert things, because often the things that we attribute to literacy, like not being able to, you know, finish tests or write properly or understand things, then that's sort of the, a bit of an alarm bell about other things that might be going in their lives that we could explore a bit more.
No, definitely. And just kind of keeping down that track, what kind of well-being opportunities do you provide students?
I'm not trained, you know, psychology or anything. That's not my background. We do have support services at TAFE, which is great. For me, it's just like an acknowledgement. So that, you know, if a student says, you know, look, I have anxiety, you can go, okay, all right, well, how is that affecting your work? How would you like, you know, to talk about it? And I think to even that sort of acknowledgement, and, you know, they can, that acknowledgement that this is what's causing their problem and they've got somebody who actually listened to that, then you sort of, then you're on a path of being able to sort of offer solutions which are more tailored. And then I can sort of draw back into my area where I say, okay, well, let's just have a look at your writing now and let's see if we can make it a bit easier for you. Let's see what's making it hard for you to write something. And, you know, so I'll look at it and I'll go, okay, well, you know, it might be something like, look, you're writing too much. Or you're not, you know, often you get a lack of sort of confidence writing or sort of a self-doubt in there. So they're not writing clearly, or they're not, it's taking much longer than they need to. And that's sort of the help specifically I can offer. Other than that, I might be working with support people or, you know, the support services at TAFE.
Yeah, I think it's really wonderful that your RTO as a whole is going, all right, these students are having difficulty. It might start off as displaying as literacy issues, but hey, look, we can support you through this, or we can help you with this. And these are some other areas that you can go to get some help, and doing that well-being for the student. I think that's really, really great.
The support is just amazing. Yeah, it's really, TAFE has always been a way of, you know, people being able to sort of take the step up, you know, step into like education or step into a, you know, skilled career. And that diversity and accessibility, I think we're really hitting our stride on that. And it's really, it makes me pretty proud, you know.
As you should be. No, that's really great. And I just was wondering if you have any resources or initiatives you recommend to our listeners to assist them with students who wish to improve their literacy, their language and numeracy skills.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a great, especially for adults, there's a great organisation called Rewrite Now, which deals with adult literacy.
So I can just search for that and...
Yeah, they're on there. They're really great. They have dealt with a really wide range of literacy skills. You know, if you're looking to build a student up and get them in there, that would probably be the first place I'd go to. If, you know, migrant students, obviously, you know, I'd suggest, you know, of course, coming to an English course at TAFE as well as doing their studying to sort of help them along, you know, again, but, you know, manage your expectation, how much English they need. But if they do, they can certainly go through there. Also, there are a lot more technological assistance out there. For example, even in Word now, you have something called Immersive Reader. And I was talking to this student yesterday who wasn't great with blue light. Her eyes got tired. I said, well, you can go into this. You click into Microsoft Word now. You go into Immersive Reader. It can read it out for you. It can make the font larger. It can increase the spaces. It can isolate different parts of text. And, you know, from text, which we dense and hard to read and distracting, it turns it into a specifically tailored, you know, tailored experience. So yeah, there's a lot out there. And also, you know, support services on campus will also be there to help. And PAVS too. If you haven't got PAVS in your department, ask for it, because we're out there and we're here to help. That was a bit of a plug. Sorry.
Anthony, your passion for empowering learners is really, truly inspiring. And it's been fascinating to talk to you today about your diverse experiences and witness your dedication to building bridges through language. And your e-learning course and insights on student wellness does remind us that every learner deserves a tailored path to success. So thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Mark. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for, thanks for taking a look at listening to me. And thanks very much, listeners.
That brings us to the end of another fantastic episode. Anthony talked a bit about the Read Right Now website, so I'll put the link in the notes so that you can access that. You've been listening to TAC Talks with your host Mel Hartley and finalist Anthony Georgieff.